Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into Proust and the Squid, a captivating exploration of the reading brain throughout history. Published in 2007, this enlightening narrative, penned by renowned reading expert Marianne Wolfe, guides us through the astonishing development of the human brain's ability to read, from the emergence of the earliest scripts to the modern mind's flexible adaptation to complex linguistic patterns. Author Marianne Wolfe stands at the forefront of literacy research. As the director of the Center for Reading and Language Research at Tufts University in Boston and the Center for Dyslexia, Diverse Learners, and Social Justice at the UCLA Graduate School of Education and Information Studies, her expertise shines through in Proust and the Squid. Wolfe's insights are not only a testament to her scholarly dedication, but also to her commitment to bridging gaps in understanding how we process language, which she further explores in other works like Tales of Literacy for the 21st Century and Reader, Come Home, The Reading Brain in a Digital World. This book is a treasure trove for anyone fascinated by linguistics, the cognitive science behind reading, and the profound impact of literacy on society. It is particularly enlightening for bookworms who want to appreciate the miracle of reading, educators who seek to inspire a love for reading in children, and individuals grappling with dyslexia. Join us as we unravel how reading shapes our thoughts, our culture, and our very brains, and why it can be profoundly challenging for some to acquire this transformative skill. Tune in to grasp how Proust and the Squid can alter your perception of reading forever. Proust and the Squid, The Story and Science of the Reading Brain. Introduction: Unveiling the Magic of Reading. How our brains turn squiggles into stories. Imagine this: every time you pick up a book, your brain embarks on a fantastic journey, transforming simple ink marks into narratives that have the power to take you to another realm. The act of reading, mundane as it may appear, is nothing short of a neurological wonder. A skill honed over millennia, shaping not just how we communicate, but who we are as a species. But have you ever paused to ponder over the marvel that is reading? What extraordinary processes within our minds enable us to decipher a string of symbols and make sense of them almost effortlessly? This exploration takes us through the corridors of time, from the dawn of human civilization to the complex highways of contemporary neuroscience, to grasp how reading came to be. You will travel back to when humans first sketched symbols on cave walls and fast forward to the digital age where those symbols are now pixels on a screen. Prepare to have your appreciation for this everyday skill deepened as we unravel how reading not only remodels our brains but also fortifies the scaffold of our thoughts and the fabric of our culture. After immersing yourself in this narrative, you will come to understand why Mark Twain, with his razor-sharp wit, had more than a bone to pick with the complexities of English spelling. The enlightenment that Einstein's brain, yes, that brain, offers us about the puzzles of dyslexia, and how the musings of the ancient philosopher Socrates predated modern-day apprehensions concerning technology and its impact on our intellect. This isn't merely about grasping how we perceive words. It's an invitation to grasp the transformative power of reading, a power that not only fuels individual growth but has pushed humanity forward one page at a time. And as you turn that last page, you'll be armed with the knowledge that, beyond its necessity, reading is a fundamental right that everyone deserves the opportunity to master. Part 1: Unlocking the Cerebral Code. How writing unearthed a new neural landscape. Dive into the intriguing saga of human evolution, and you'll discover a pivotal moment when our ancestors stumbled upon a groundbreaking innovation, writing. This wasn't merely a giant leap for record keeping. It signaled a profound transformation within the human brain itself, a rewiring so substantial it equipped us to conquer the mental gymnastics of reading. It's not an easy task to trace the origins of writing back to an exact moment, but glimpses into human history, like the ancient scribbles found within South Africa's Blombos Cave, suggest that our ancestors were experimenting with symbols as old as 80,000 years to express and preserve their experiences. The idea that you could use abstract symbols to represent the tangible world around you was nothing short of a revolution for the human mind. Imagine the implications. Knowledge could be passed down, experiences could be shared beyond the spoken word, and all of this called for a cerebral response to support it. The highlight here is the cerebral pivot we had to make. Our brains reorganized themselves in the face of reading's demands. Picture your brain, a bustling metropolis of interconnected neurons that boast a remarkable flexibility, a quality scientists term neural plasticity. The first attempts at reading did not just lead to the construction of new roads in this metropolis. They ultimately transformed the cityscape, optimizing it for swift symbol interpretation. Recollect the efforts of childhood literacy. The once taxing parade of alien markings evolves into an intuitive stream, your eyes gliding over words as if on autopilot. This profound shift is mirrored in our brain's activity. Expose the mind to foreign character-like figures, and only a select neighborhood, part of the brain's back visual district, flickers to life. Show it familiar letters, however, and it's as though the entire city alights in a festival of synaptic fireworks, engaging not just the visual but also language, auditory, and conceptual sectors. Key in this cerebral evolution was the birth of a connection linking the angular gyrus, a region skilled in associations, to zones involved in object recognition. This neural innovation laid the groundwork for our ancestors to develop intricate writing systems, pathways that paved the way for humanity's journey into literacy. Thus began the incredible story of how, line by line, our species learned to read the world, a story we will continue to explore. Part 2: How the Dawn of Alphabets Reshaped Human Communication and Cognition. Imagine a world before alphabets, one brimming with elaborate symbols representing whole ideas, objects, or words, just as they are in the physical world. This was the ancient brain's canvas, etched with the elaborate cuneiform wedges and evocative hieroglyphs that graced the cradles of civilization some 5,200 years ago. In lands we now call Mesopotamia and Egypt, scribes crafted these visual scripts primarily for trade and governance, birthing pictographs that bore a striking semblance to their real-world counterparts. Yet, as these scripts became more intricate, the cognitive demands on their users soared. Hieroglyphs, for instance, evolved from mere picture words to symbols also signifying sounds, making literacy a Herculean effort limited to an educated few. It was the ancient Greeks who turned the tide with a simple yet transformative realization. Here's the crux. The invention of the first alphabets not only optimized our skill in recording thoughts, but also altered the nature of thought itself. Around 750 BCE, inspired by the consonant-centric script of their Phoenician neighbors, the Greeks broke new ground. They dissected their spoken language into a finite set of unique sounds and crafted a letter for each, a revolutionary leap from the monumental libraries of symbols used before. This alphabetic system championed a clarity and directness that mirrored spoken language's diversity, enabling the Greeks to effortlessly inscribe both the words on their tongue and the nascent ideas sprouting in their minds. The benefits were multifold. Alphabets offered a cognitive economy, boiling down entire sound systems to no more than a couple of dozen letters. This efficiency didn't just conserve mental bandwidth, but also significantly cut down the time required to achieve literacy. On the grander scale of human thought and expression, the alphabet unlocked new realms. It granted scribes the means to preserve not just spoken dialogues, but the subtler nuances of unvoiced introspection and inquiry. This linguistic liberation fueled an era of magnificent cultural and intellectual flowering in Greece, spanning philosophy, the arts, and science, the echoes of which continue to resonate in our modern consciousness. Therein lies the story of humanity's alphabetic awakening, a narrative of symbols that fragmented and reformed like stars into constellations, mapping out the vast universe of human thought and ensuring that tales of ancient marvels would remain accessible through time's relentless march. Part 3. Planting the Seeds of Literacy. How Early Experiences Shape a Child's Reading Journey. Long before a child utters their first word or scrawls their first alphabet, the seeds of literacy are being sown. Experts in the field of reading agree that there's never a prelude too premature for introducing books to the little ones. It's during these formative years that the bedrock of reading is laid, nurturing a child's budding linguistic faculties. Here's the crucial insight. The foundation for reading is firmly established in the early stages of a child's life. Consider this. By the tender age of 6 months, a child's visual apparatus is primed to distinguish minute symbols, such as letters. Fast forward to 18 months, and there comes a revelation for the toddler. Everything that exists holds a name, a distinct verbal identity. As young minds navigate the initial years, their cognitive faculties expand exponentially. Reading to them during this time can catalyze remarkable growth in perception, attentiveness, and conceptual understanding. This ritual enriches their own verbal expressions, crafting intricate patterns of speech as they mirror the language they hear. Research in the field echoes the significance of early reading. Take, for instance, a study by Victoria Purcell Gates. She found that 5-year-olds who had enjoyed stories 5 times a week across 2 years wielded language with greater finesse, longer phrases, more complex structures, and even terms with a literary flair like once upon a time, in contrast to their less read to peers. Conversely, children from homes scant on language and reading were shown to encounter nearly 32 million fewer words than others by a certain age, resulting in vocabularies with less heft and more challenges in learning to read. Key to early literary development is the recognition of the bond between printed symbols, their sounds, and the narratives they craft. As children grasp that each letter is not just a visual artifact, but also carries a sound and a name, their brains begin bridging the visual and linguistic domains. This neuro-linguistic interplay gets a head start with regular storytelling. And there's an additional heartwarming bonus. Engaging with tales of fantasy and adventure instills in young minds the art of empathy, the ability to see the world through others' eyes, to share their joys and sorrows. Through the magic of literature, we pass on the gift of understanding, of feeling with others. So the message rings clear and true. Nurture a child's future literacy by reading to them early and often, thereby paving a path toward empathy, knowledge, and a lifelong love for the woven word. Part 4. The Reading Odyssey. Navigating the 5 stages from novice to maestro. Reading isn't just about recognizing words on a page. It's a complex dance of cognitive skills, a journey with distinct stages that unfold as a child's mind grows. This journey is peppered with adorable blunders and fascinating discoveries, as illustrated by Glenda Bissex's tale of her son's inventive spelling to grab her attention. The essence of this blink is captured in the progression children make through 5 distinct stages of reading development. At the outset are the pre-readers, young explorers of language who grapple with the peculiar ways sounds and letters mingle in speech. This stage is characterized by delightful errors, much like those highlighted by Mark Twain in his humorous take on the quirks of the English language. Gradually, as these children begin to conquer simple words and phrases, they evolve into novice readers. It's a pivotal phase where they acclimatize to the phonological, orthographic, and semantic ground rules of their tongue. Novice readers often follow a predictable sequence of mistakes, from contextually logical but incorrect guesses to getting tripped up by words that look similar but hold different meanings. They navigate through phonetic minefields, eventually learning to sidestep such errors and move to the next phase. This brings us to the decoding readers, who have achieved a smooth synthesis of words into sentences, empowered by an expanding lexicon. Trading laborious letter, deciphering for efficient word recognition, their brains now have the bandwidth to kindle areas linked to comprehension and recollection. Then, comes the transformation into fluent, comprehending readers, the stage where reading becomes as natural as breathing. These readers don't just decode, they delve into the depths of texts, extracting meaning, making inferences, and even predicting narrative turns. Having journeyed this far, a child crosses into the final epoch, that of the reading expert. Books no longer just tell stories, they weave entire worlds, accessible anytime through the printed word. However, reaching the zenith doesn't signal the end. The path of reading is an infinite climb, continuing well into adulthood as we forever expand our skills and indulge in the myriad universes nestled within our libraries. Now, let's press forward, keeping in mind that the adventure of reading is a never-ending expansion of knowledge, imagination, and empathy that we all embark upon, one word at a time. Part 5. Embarking on an Endless Literary Voyage: The Evolution of the Reading Mind. The keystone of a child's reading adventure marks the beginning of a far grander expedition. Once the basic art of decoding transforms into skilled reading, the gates to fantastical and unseen realms swing wide open. Children are invited to tour the intricate geographies of places like Middle-earth, Narnia, and Hogwarts, exploring depths where the expected is turned on its head. However, the journey with words doesn't culminate there. The core idea to grasp is that the adventure of learning to read is an eternal pursuit. As young readers mature, traversing ever more complex landscapes of text, they unfurl newer dimensions of the written world. The neural pathways responsible for letter recognition become adept, passing the torch to more profound regions of the brain, like the limbic system, the seat of emotion. It's here that irony resonates, metaphors bloom, and narratives interweave with personal experiences and worldly understanding. An expert reader wields the capability to capture the essence of a word in a fraction of a second, less than the blink of an eye. Picture it. In the opening 100 milliseconds, the mind zeroes in, casting aside other mental stimuli to focus on the word. The visual cortex catalogues the letters, dispatching them along bespoke neural passages to the archives of reading memory. The working memory keeps this visual snapshot handy, while the association memory summons the related concepts and meanings. As the next 100 milliseconds unfold, the cognitive gears mesh letters with their sounds and meld them into coherent words teeming with significance. And in the ensuing 300 milliseconds, a veritable trove of related knowledge awakens. Contextual meanings, alternative interpretations, and any other relevant information about the word. The frequency and depth of reading hone the rapidity of this decoding dance, leaving a wealth of time for the mind to ponder and reflect upon the words. With age, our personal library of experiences enriches our reading. The joy of revisiting a book often uncovers layers unseen during the first rendezvous, with our life stories coloring the text anew. To be engrossed in the world of reading is to be on a ceaseless quest, with every book, every page, every line contributing to the ever-expanding universe of our literary insights. So let's embrace this boundless exploration, where our capacity to read and understand continually evolves, as rich and endless as the narratives we cherish. Part 6, The Enigma of Dyslexia, Navigating Its Diverse Types and Brain-Based Origins. Dyslexia, a condition shared by illustrious minds like Leonardo da Vinci, Thomas Edison, and Albert Einstein, has perplexed scientists and educators for centuries. Each of these historical figures exhibited struggles with the written word, yet their intellectual achievements were monumental. Their experiences highlight the complexity and diversity of dyslexia, a condition not even coined until the late 19th century. Here's a critical insight. Dyslexia manifests in a spectrum of types, each with potential roots in brain function. Dyslexia's late emergence in medical texts and the absence of a clear-cut definition stem from its varied presentation. In English, its most common subtypes revolve around difficulties in phonetics, matching letters to sounds, fluency, or a blend of both. Furthermore, a fraction of individuals with reading hardships defy these categories entirely. Historically, researchers have endeavored to uncover dyslexia's neural underpinnings. One theory points to a flaw within the fundamental brain structures essential for reading, such as visual and auditory systems. This was first proposed by Kussmaul after observing a French businessman who, following two strokes that impaired these systems, lost his reading ability. A second theory posits that dyslexia may stem from the brain's struggle to process information at the pace necessary for fluent reading. Evidence indicates that people with dyslexia experience a time gap, impacting the synergy of their visual, auditory, and motor systems. This is observable in tasks requiring rapid naming or rhythmic coordination, where those with dyslexia often lag behind. 19th-century neurologist Carl Wernicke described dyslexia as a disconnexion syndrome, suggesting deficiencies in the integrative pathways between visual, verbal, or visual auditory brain regions. Such potential deficits necessitate the dyslexic brain to devise alternative strategies for reading. Contemporary brain imaging has revealed unique neurological circuits in the dyslexic brain, a stark contrast to those without the condition. As we venture further, we'll uncover not only the distinctiveness of dyslexic brains, but also how this distinction can be a source of strength rather than solely a challenge. The narrative of dyslexia is not solely about obstacles, it's about recognizing and harnessing different cognitive paths, a tale of cerebral diversity with its own set of advantages. Part 7: Exploring the Gifts of Dyslexia. How unique brains shape unique abilities. The narrative of dyslexia often shadows the discourse with misconceptions, portraying it merely as a disability in reading. But remember, reading isn't hardwired into human physiology. Our brains adapted to interpret written language over millennia, which means the dyslexic brain, with its distinctive assembly, isn't flawed, it's simply calibrated differently. This blink carries a revelation. The particular neural configurations of dyslexia can enhance talents beyond those linked to language. The historical roll call of dyslexic visionaries, the Da Vincis, Edisons, and Einsteins, gestures to a correlation between this distinctive brain wiring and exceptional creativity. Antoni Gaudi's architectural marvels, Andy Warhol's iconic art, and Johnny Depp's captivating performances each reflect a brilliance potentially entwined with the same neurodiversity that characterizes dyslexia. Research in past decades, particularly from the neurologist Norman Geschwind, suggests an interconnectedness between the challenges and gifts of dyslexia. Dyslexics often navigate complex speech and motor coordination difficulties, yet they may simultaneously excel in visual-spatial realms. One explanation lies in the symmetry of brain hemisphere usage among dyslexics. Unlike the asymmetrical planum temporal found in most people, dyslexics typically show no size disparity between the left and right hemispheres in this region. Additionally, dyslexics tend to activate right brain circuits more prominently across a variety of tasks. It's plausible that right brain prominence equips dyslexics with heightened abilities in visual pattern recognition. It's an observation that aligns with a tendency for dyslexics to venture into fields demanding a knack for discerning broader patterns, such as design, radiology, or finance. However, despite the recognition of dyslexia, current societal systems are not wholly prepared to nurture and harness these alternate talents. Dyslexic children often face delayed diagnoses or slip through the educational cracks, a loss not only for the individual, but society as a whole. The call to action is clear. Parents and educators must stay vigilant to the signs of potential reading difficulties, ensuring that children receive timely, robust support. By doing so, we safeguard their ability to develop a spectrum of skills, potentially unlocking new vistas of human achievement and innovation, hidden talents waiting to be discovered within the dyslexic mind. Part 8: Safeguarding the Legacy of Reading in the Digital Era. Contemplating the evolution of reading leads us to a thought-provoking crossroads, echoing concerns of historic proportions. Socrates, a luminary of the ancient world, viewed the advent of writing with trepidation, fearing it may calcify thinking, undermine memory, and engender a complacent trust in the written word. It's a concern that mirrors modern criticism toward the pervasive digital media. Navigating this digital landscape raises pivotal questions. What transformations are in store for our reading brains amid this torrent of information? Will the technological behemoth elevate our cognitive capabilities, or will it erode the very foundations that constructed our intellect and culture? Allow this key message to resonate. The mastery of reading plays a vital role in our individual and collective progression. We must strive to preserve its essence. There's no need for undue foreboding. History reassures us of that. But we can't ignore certain trends, like the shortening of attention spans and dips in literacy benchmarks, which hint at the potential consequences of our rapidly shifting reading behaviors. As we transition into uncharted territories, it's imperative to recall the monumental gains conferred by the evolution of reading. The genesis of writing transformed communication, immortalizing spoken and silent thought, propelling it through time and space. It granted us intimate access to the mental frameworks of others while liberating cognitive resources traditionally dedicated to memorization for higher intellectual pursuits. It's the scaffolding upon which much of our knowledge and cultural heritage rests. Of paramount importance is the element of time in conventional reading, an increasingly elusive commodity in today's fast-paced world. Yet it's this very investment of time that elevates reading from comprehension to deep, insightful engagement, tying words to our unique stories and wisdom. As custodians of this literary inheritance, we bear the charge of ensuring every child, despite their neurological wiring, grasps the profound key of reading. Through this, we not only preserve an age-old practice, but also fuel their intrinsic growth and the onward march of human consciousness. The mission is clear: safeguard the rich tapestry of reading for generations to navigate in an age where knowledge surges at the speed of light. Final summary. In essence, the endeavor of reading is one steeped in cultural metamorphosis, a testament to the malleable and incredible capabilities of the human brain. The development of writing was no overnight occurrence. It was a gradual evolution that demanded significant cerebral adaptation. Across history, our neurological landscapes were reshaped, crafting intricate pathways to interpret and understand the written symbol. This transformation didn't just stop with individual brains. As children, we embark on a complex and often challenging adventure into literacy, a journey fraught with hurdles for those facing conditions like dyslexia. Yet, the act of reading is far more than decoding words. It's an instrument of profound personal and societal evolution. Reading has not only sculpted our cognitive abilities, it has also imprinted on our culture, providing a medium to convey our deepest thoughts and grandest stories across epochs. As such, the privilege and responsibility rest upon us to champion the right to literacy, ensuring that every person, irrespective of neurological diversity, has access to the world of words is paramount. Remember this: the act of reading is an extraordinary alchemy that transforms ink on paper to landscapes of the mind, pioneering new frontiers in both thought and culture. It's an undertaking worth safeguarding, worth nurturing, and worth celebrating. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.